Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ash-shadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We turn to him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Airways of American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Not Just Talk. I am Kareem Hameed, sitting in for my beloved co-host and brother, Michael Hameed. He has some affairs to take care of that would not permit him to broadcast this evening. And so he called me and asked if I was sitting in for him. And I let him know that I would. I noticed Michael would sometimes have an open mic night. or either he would have a special guest. So I have a choice to make. I can play a rebroadcast of one of the earlier broadcasts of Not Just Talk, or I can attempt to have an open mic night whereby if there's anything that's on your mind that you would like to share, then we ask that you feel free to do that on open mic night. So as I stated, Michael had some business to attend to that prohibited him from being in the host chair of his wonderful broadcast. He's the host and the producer of the broadcast, Not Just Talk. And we are grateful for his many years of dedication and service to the association and to this platform. And we look forward to him returning back to his regular scheduled broadcast, inshallah, next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you would like to participate in a open mic night, press one on your phone, and that is an indication that that's the choice we will make, or either I can play an earlier rebroadcast of Not Just Talk. So I'm asking you now to press one on your phone if you are interested in us participating in an open mic conversation this evening. Okay. All right. So I see, let me open up the mic. There is code 225-220. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Web Not Just Talk. Please state your name and where you're calling from, if you would, please.
Alhamdulillah. I wasn't ready. I just had wanted to, just have the open night. You didn't say the thing about speaking.
Right. The choice was open mic night, or he suggests that I play an earlier broadcast of Not Just Talk. So I'm making that choice now. No, I'm leaving the choice up to you, to us. Do we want to have an open mic night or play a rebroadcast of Not Just Talk? So I see you have, are you in favor of having an open mic night, my sister?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. We have another person that has raised their hand. Air code 727-741, Martha Naila Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And yes, I'm jumping up and down. Open mic night. Yes.
It's a lot more. You got a lot on your mind. Praise be to Allah. There is so much going on in our lives that, everyone should have something, you know, that they're working on or some kind of whatever, you know. So whatever the subject matter is up to you. So my sister that raised your hand first, 225-220, if you would share with us what is on your mind this evening. My sister?
Assalamu alaikum. I just have to think first because, you know, we get to a certain age, we just have to think. You know, I just have wanted to listen, and I'd rather listen to hear my brothers than listen to the tape. But I will say something. I just want to know what the subject is because you know, just tell me the subject and then I can speak.
A subject is whatever is on your mind. Whatever you pick the subject that you would like to share. You pick the subject.
My mind is completely blank right now. My mind is completely black.
Well,
I really don't have. Oh, because I'm just working. See, I'm working and I'm moving. And so basically what I'm listening and I'm working at the same time. That's what I'm doing.
All right, then.
Have one thing to say, though. I do have one thing to say. It's always good to have. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah Rahmanir Rahim. It's always good to have plants. Because plants, what it does, it takes the toxin out of the air, and also it brings in oxygen. It's always good to have a lot of plants in your house and around your house. You'd be surprised. And did you know that, did you know that they have about 40 acres of pine that supply all the oxygen in the world? What'd you say?
I said you were saying that 40 acres of pine produces
pine trees. Yeah, because they give out more oxygen than any other plant here on the planet, and I don't know if it's the United States or the world, but anyway, they have 40 acres of it. Just for to get to release that oxygen. And the bamboo is the second plant.
Okay.
And it have all this medicine, because I had one bamboo, and now I got almost 25 bamboos. I have to cut it down. The city, they want to cut it down. But the only reason why they ain't cutting it down yet, because they're trying to find a place to place it, because you don't put $1,000 on the side of the street. This is bamboo. This is a medicine. And you could use it for building, and also this medicine right here. You'd be surprised. The bamboo oil and the bamboo tea.
Oh,
they help fight cancer. They help fight cancer cells.
Hmm. By your sharing, all of us are benefiting from this valuable information that you are sharing with us. Yes, ma'am. That's good information, and I thank you for sharing that.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay.
And I'm going to share the bamboo, too, also.
Okay. The 40 acres of pine trees and a bamboo plant are very beneficial. All right. Thank you, my sister. I'm going to put your mic on mute. You can press 1, that'll take you out of the queue. And if you wish to make any other statements, press 1 on your phone. I'll see it and open up your mic.
Alhamdulillah.
Hello? Yes, ma'am. All right. We'll move forward. Error code 727-740, Martha Nala Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam, and praise be to Allah for our dear sister sharing that. I looked it up, and it does say, we never think about the pine needles. The needles are so adaptable to releasing more readily than the flatness of the other leaves of the pine of the trees, that though they all do the same thing through the same process. Knowing that, they're living, breathing while we're living and breathing. And we're interacting, needing one another. And thank you, my sister, for sharing about plants. I always knew about having plants around in your home and such, and the medicinal things of that. And that allows us to use our brain. When I say brain, I'm thinking of the brain waves and the mind. And then there's the consciousness. And the more we become aware of certain things, we learn. The more we learn, the more it calls for us to act upon what we just learned, especially if that learning includes action, to have actions. And I'm referencing our lives. Where I have been, I did not always think about writing my life on the pages of paper. and it being important. Thinking just like you see the trees, you see them standing, they're planted, and it takes us to move them around sometimes. But Allah Subhanahu wa Taala has a process by which, you know, the seedlings of those trees get scattered about through what they call the wind. I forget the name of it, but nevertheless, they get scattered. Here, our thoughts are much like that. So, but if we collect our thoughts and put them on paper and just know that someone will benefit from it, like it gives, I don't know, when I read the life of someone else, I go into their world in a sense.
Yes,
I find myself, you know, especially if they're saying about the trials they had and how they went through those trials. They held on, and then came that moment, and everything opened like a flower opening up, and we see the beauty of that flowering in their life. But we don't see the tragedies or the tests and the trials that they had to go through to get to that. And each one of us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, allows each of us to develop through those trials. Some of us hold on, some of us don't. But nonetheless, those situations can be written in a way, not in a depressed way, but in an educational way, that it will help somebody who's looking for their way to overcome trials. And I believe that's, you know, I believe wholeheartedly it's intentional. And as I was speaking with a doctor today, one of the Muslim brothers in Miami, Dr. Mattel T. Hameen, and he was sharing with me how the serotonin in our bodies, when that's imbalanced, how the idea right now, put the drug to in effect to help it, meaning, you know, marijuana. But what has been done to the marijuana is the process, making it, you know, what they call it, the Medicaid drug or medical drug. But the outcome, the thing about it is, it's creating another process that will cause us to attach ourselves to a sickness syndrome. And that syndrome is what we have categorized it as mental health. We placed it into that category. And then when we say mental health, we are thinking sick. And the more we get to think that this drug can help us, it puts a barrier between us and again, I'm saying about writing our life. When he was speaking with me, it was like he was writing a book. I was reading a book, excuse me. It was like I was reading his book of what he studied. And he didn't have to tell me, you know, the things he's gone through to get to where he is, but I was sensing it. So
that's the beauty, that when people share with us important topics, they share them with us. And we enjoy them, but we're not aware of the struggle that it took for that person to put that together. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, to put it together, the meaning real life happened. Some of us, if I just said the word, and everyone can tell me where their mind goes to when I say this, a gun was placed in my head. And the location was at a dump. I mean, a real live dump, you know, trash all around. And the intent was this would have just been a body laying it in that dump. And no one would have known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have known, and the person who committed the act would have known. And I had a choice. I had a choice because there was a request made to tell them who else was in a particular van. You know, I was just leaving work, and they thought another male was in the van, but it was two women and one male. And I just was I was the second woman accompanying my friend girl after work with a young man that was interested in her, and she wanted me to go alone. So, and of course, this person I'm speaking of was an acquaintance, close acquaintance, all right? So we never know how things will happen, but when you're in the midst of it, do you hold on by speaking the truth, regardless, gun to your head or not? Where do you go when we say, and I know I've asked this often now, when we say we seek refuge with Almighty God, where do we go? And at that moment, what meant more to me was being comfortable with speak the truth, and whatever happens, so be it. So it, just imagining that, anyone listening and thinking on it, what would you have done? Would fear have overcome you to the point that you would probably succumb to crying, or would you have begged and pleaded for them not to do what they were doing? That wasn't in my heart and soul right that moment. So that's just one instance, but I'm sure we all have instances where we had to make a choice,
mm-hmm.
life or death, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah for your sharing that with us, Martha, and the excellent question, what would you do if someone had put a gun on you? You know, I can sit here in the safety of my home and say, well, I'll do this, I'll do that. Until you're actually in that situation, until you are actually in that, you cannot answer honestly now what you would do if that has not happened to you and it's not happening now. Because I bear witness, it's a very traumatic experience. But anyway, thank God we're here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has use for us. Thank you, Martha, and alhamdulillah for your sharing.
Yes, thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay, I'm opening up the mic of Bilal the poet. Assalamu alaikum, Bilal.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. I'd like to share, I think it's just share an experience I had in life where I was drafted into the military, and I wasn't military minded at all. And when I got into it, I began to have to deal with racism to the point that people could handle me physically, I ended up being put into a stockade. And so all during that time I was there, I was in there for a year and 21 days. So I remember going to a supply place. Every morning I would just go to a sick call. And I would never, they'd say, yeah, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm going on sick call. And that's how I did. And so finally, my parents came to a graduation, and two of my friends came to me. And during that time, I was trying to get, a security thing to be able to get off the base. Because they had me on a security clearance that they wouldn't let me off because I was like a threat to the government because some kind of organization I became a part of. And so I ended up just going AWOL and came back on the base. And then I got to handle, you know, a certain kind of way with that. So I got to, and then what you call supply school. And so I'm excellent in it. And then, so the last week of school, they had orders up, and I went to the CO, the clerk of court, and I said, man, what kind of orders I got there? He said, you got orders to go to Vietnam. I said, Vietnam? I said, I'm not going nobody to Vietnam. And during that time, they were showing people getting killed on TV in New Orleans. I'll be talking about like 1969. And so he told me, say, He said, all you do is just fail the last week of your course, and you'll get an order to come back on, and you'll get recycled. I said, okay, then. So I did that, and I ended up getting orders for Okinawa. Then I went to Okinawa. I said, within that frame of mind, I have to get out this military. So at that point, I was in the honor company, and it was like an hour before the time for me to go on the ship. It was the evening ship. I was able to go off, you know, you leave to go and eat. And I would go sign in, and I would never come back. And I was in this company, and I'm Okinawa, and down from the company, maybe about a half a block, something like that. And I was just with brothers from St. Louis, Chicago, and they were organized. They were Black Power advocates. So I got hooked up with them. And so what happened, we ended up having an informant in the group. And I was coming back from off the base one time. Somebody stopped me and said, look, man, the dude he was informing me was a rat. And his brother named Greeley from East St. Louis, he said, they got him, bro. They looking for you. So what I did, I went to my office, the executive office room, and I towed up all this equipment. So they put me in the mental hospital. So all this time, I'm playing crazy. And so finally, they medevaced me back to the United States. And so when I went in, the doctor was on a weekend. And so he asked me, was I crazy? And I asked him, was he crazy? And I asked him, I said, look, please, don't put me under no medication. He said, well, look, I'm not going to put you under medication, but if I come back in and I found out you had done something, he said, well, then I'm going to put you on some medicine. So he came back in. Everything was good. I ended up staying off a month. Same situation. Go to San Antonio, Texas. I wasn't, in other words, my mind could not function being in the government. I mean, I'm talking about straight up racism. Sometimes where they really just would handle me kind of way, and I wasn't used to nothing like that. Especially not with the Caucasian, period. And so I played crazy again. And they said, well, okay, you go to this mental institution. I never did go. I found a friend of mine that came from Vietnam, and he was in a holdback company where a lot of people put numbers come in, so I just laid out there with him. So finally, I used to go to the, what they call a JAG, the lawyer, and to get me a discharge out the military. So I finally got out the military. But all during that time, here it is, I was a person addicted to, I was an alcoholic. And they said, I don't think I was using drugs. I just an alcoholic. And here it is, I'm inside the government system. And these people hounding me all kind of way, and you're stone outright racist. And I did have to draw the fact that I got to get out of this. I got to get out of this any way I can. And so that was my way of just kind of like surviving. So here I'm here. I'm in the United States. I don't have no, as far as the job record is concerned, right? And I just actually used to go to a job. I learned how to master how you handle a employer. So I went to a training school, and so when I went to the person, I was telling them, he said, you're an excellent employee, no problem, you're going to have it. But it was the same thing again. I couldn't deal with people in authority, and I was just manipulating people on jobs and everything else. I would tell them I stayed in the military for 5 years, and I was a sergeant when I got out. And so what it is, racism forced me to just be manipulative, and that's what I did. And I ended up this is where I'm gonna get to the point. I ended up going to Chicago, at that point I had got into the Nation of Islam, and I just wrote to people and told them, say, look, I was all during that time, and I say I'm not with that. I'm with Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And I think because of praise be to Allah that the fact that the influence that the Muslim had in Chicago, I ended up getting an honorable discharge, and I got all my things that I had to get about that, and then I ended up even till right now today, I get a great big deal of money, but I had to fight racism. And I had to just be manipulative in my mind, the fact that I'm not going to let them just handle me like that. And now I'm thankful to Allah that I have the spirit that I have now that I am.
Yes, sir. You know, Bilal, having faced blatant racism, you use the term manipulate, which is a good strategy. Because, you know, even I heard Imam Muhammad say once, hey, look, don't look down on those among us back in that time that would remove our hat, lower our eyes, look all down on the ground. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, boss. Yes, sir. He said, you utilize a strategy how to handle this beast. He had full control over you. You was in his mouth. And you had enough skills to handle him, to keep him from outright slaughtering you. You are a brave people. You are a fantastic people. The Imam said, look, it's whole nations that back up from this Caucasian in this country. He said, but here you are right in the midst of them, right in their grip. And you learn enough about him to handle him so that you can We are a strong people, my brother. That's the truth.
Like
and I thank you for sharing that. Yes, racism, you know, it's still with us. But it has been around a long time. And we have been the primary victim. But we have survived.
I like to say something to you, Brother Kareem. I mean, and I remember I used to tell you about that voting thing, you know, man, you need to vote and different things like that. And I understand how you feel concerning President Biden now. Now I understand. I see the things he does, you know, concerning America. Right now, America's at war. And I say to myself, I say this man's sick. You know, he just doing one thing after another. And all of it tell me we're going to support Israel, and Israel playing them and using them like they nothing. I say to myself, I say, I understand what Kareem, I mean, meant about that. Biden, he just killing people, you know. I'm just saying, no matter how it go, America, the leadership here in America is
rotten.
It's nothing. It's nothing. There's no leader left. Not for Muslims, not for us. We have to, we have to stay and know our focus for what we need to get for our community, as far as the political arena is concerned, and going on and become self-sufficient as much as we can to help and continue to serve people, because Allah says that His service, our service, is bigger than the whole universe. So praise be to Allah for that.
That's
painful. Every day when I hear about that, you know, I say, man, I say this sickness, you know.
I'll speak on that a little later in the show. No doubt about that. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lau, for sharing with us.
La Rakba. Alhamdulillah.
Praise
you. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah.
Wa alaykum as-salam. I'm opening up the mic now at 225-225-220.
Please
state your name and where you're calling.
Yeah, Waalaikum
Assalam, my sister.
Alhamdulillah, Sister Karam Muhammad. You know, when you were saying that about the gun to the head, I said, that happened to me. And the sister asked, what did you do? So you know what I did? I said, I started talking to a God. I said, oh, God. Is this the way I'm going to go out? That's what I did. And I just said, that's why I said, oh, God, this is where I'm going to go out. And then that's when the person lowered the gun. And I tell my children, I tell them, I said, if you get in a situation, don't call on mama. because mama ain't going to hear you. I said, call on Allah, because that's who's going to hear you. Alhamdulillah.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Sister Karan, for that sharing. Praise be to Allah. Okay. I'm going to put you on mute. You can press one to take you out of the queue. And if you wish to share further, press one. And inshallah, I'll notice it and I'll open up your mic. Inshallah. Okay. We shall pause at this time for some public service announcements. You are listening to the broadcast of Not Just Talk. And I'm sitting in for my beloved brother, Michael Hameen. He has some business that he had to attend to, which prohibited him from hosting this wonderful broadcast, not Just Talk. So we are paused now for some important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Mark your calendars for December 19th through the 22nd, 2024. The 20th annual A Time to Be Grateful conference is coming to Miami, Florida at the Hilton Miami downtown. This year's theme is Power of the Pen, fostering understanding, truth, and unity. We all have something to be grateful for. A kind word, a helping hand, the warmth of those we love from your brother or sister. The Muslim Journal's A Time to Be Grateful is an annual fundraiser designed to raise awareness about the Muslim Journal publication, increase subscriptions, advertising, distribution through events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development. Muslim Journal, a great publication, has served this community for over 60 years. Join us for an exciting weekend filled with Salatul Jummah, several empowerment informational workshops, which includes a specialized economic business workshop, the Time to Be Grateful Awards dinner, entertaining cultural night, Caribbean fashion show and luncheon, vendor marketplace, and ending with business influencers as speakers at the business presentation breakfast. Gratitude is more than just a feeling. It's a way of life. Take time and experience the goodness of networking with people who are spiritually grounded in goodness at a Time to Be Grateful conference. Get your tickets today and get all event details. Visit the website at MasjidAlAnsar.org or call 862-250-5451. This year, let's make time for gratitude for the past, the present, and the future we're building together. A Time to Be Grateful. Let's cherish it together.
So I was telling my brothers, if they ever had daughters, to do certain things with their daughters, that way to just have little daddy-daughter dates and things, and take them on little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their, even if they're little, I don't care if they're from 3 to 13, treat them like a woman, open their door for them and hold the door and everything. So that way they will be used to it, because I said one day when they get older, they will look for a husband, and they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated. So they won't expect, or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older, and if I will know how my dad treated me, and I will know not to get with anything less, as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like, because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
And we're back. This is the broadcast of Not Just Talks. I am Kareem Hameed, sitting in for my beloved brother, Michael Hameen. He had some business that would not allow him to be in the host seat this evening for this wonderful broadcast of Not Just Talk. And inshallah, next week he shall return back to the host queue of the wonderful broadcast, Not Just Talk. Inshallah. I am Kareem Hameed. And this evening we are having open mic night. Open mic night. Anything that is on your mind of any subject matter, please feel free to actually share that. Okay? I'm opening up the mic of 706-627. Muhammad, assalamu alaikum. What is on your mind?
Why, Alaykum As-Salam, as you know, was always on my mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, you know, and then us. I wanted to first thank Allah very much for having this opportunity to give all of us a chance to share and, inshallah, have sure over what we hear from each other's experiences and make a consensus to ourselves after we make consensus to Allah that we're going to really make effort on what we have heard. I like to share, as y'all know, about 2 years ago when I was inviting everybody on the different programs that I attend, that this Ramadan at that time said, when are we going to ask Allah to get rid of the shaitan? We are mature enough. We thank Allah much for his guidance and the example of Prophet Muhammad. And we can tell by the way we have been exchanging what Allah has blessed us with understanding and about our creation and who we are and everything else in this reality that we live in. And I asked Allah, I said, please, Allah, give Shaitan his destiny and bless us to this month of Ramadan go forward with ours. The law, and I told everybody else to do the same, you know, on the different programs. I said, why don't we pray and ask Allah? We know that this is the month where he answers all du'as kind of expeditiously, inshallah, if that's his will to do so for our du'a. So I asked Allah, my other request was that I want to stay in the spirit of Ramadan to give conclusion to its purpose. Its purpose was to bring us to purification of whatever we have been through willfully, knowingly, unknowingly, and with also for the shaitan talking us into it and having us going along with it to whatever degree we have, because we are not being obedient and coming and rising up against something that every Muslim who comes into this way of life by Allah's permission learns real quick. We learn a couple of things. We learn that we are to hear and obey what we read or hear in the Quran that can be verified by the Quran. What we hear, what is said about Prophet Muhammad and what he said himself, alayhi wasalam, and it can be verified in the Quran. We also know that we are supposed to arise out of whatever we are on this planet and establish a band of workers to build a model example of refuge from all that the human family is suffering from in this challenge or this battle with the shaitan trying to prove that he's better than us. We're in a defensive mode. We're not to be the aggressor because he's trying to prove something that he will never be able to prove, inshallah. And we don't have to do anything except when he comes our way, make sure that we have in position the light of the Quran and the shield of the life of Prophet Muhammad in our life. And we will take these two things to save our souls first against the aggression, the whisper, the schemes of the shaitan. And I also found out about year and a half of that first year of doing my best and my ability, a lot of no best how well I was, to stay in the spirit of Ramadan. So I'm going on now about 3 years of being in the spirit of Ramadan, and I have been rewarded by Allah and his angels to remind me that I have grown a whole lot since I asked Allah to give me that favor. And I have learned a whole lot by Allah for asking to give me that favor. And then about, as you all know, about 7, 8, 9 months ago, Allah blessed me to get up and I say, you have made a change and Allah is going to reward you. So he said, if we change our condition, he'll help us change it more the way that we want to go with it. And I pray that my change is only to obey, hear and obey Allah and follow his example of how I'm supposed to be in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the next morning, as you all know, I started since everybody was doing it all the time anyway, but I didn't ever do it. I just hated to Brother Muhammad. And then I started giving the direction that Allah had given me. I shared it like we're sharing tonight. But we know only this happens with Allah's permission. Allah has made this night what we're doing right now for a reason, so that we may, inshallah, really listen to what we are sharing with each other and be honest with us how the chip may fall. So Allah said, don't you know that when I gave you the opportunity to be my servant and you took the sacred oath of the Shahada Tahim and you said, this is what you want without a doubt, and I wipe your whole past behind you and give you the protection of how to defend yourself just on the faith that I'm giving you for taking the Shahada and wanting to be my servant. So I started inducing myself as Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. Because Allah said once you took the Shahada, you was already in the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All you have to do now is build it. And that Ummah of Prophet Muhammad is called, Allah said in the Quran, is Al-Islam. You build this Al-Islam way of life in this world here so that those who are seeking what Ibrahim was seeking, and we know he's the father of what we would say the contemporary man, which means mind, and his desire to be what Allah created, to be the best of creation and to make everything in creation, even if he has to correct it, him to worship Allah with the best thing Allah said he has made in his creative desires, and that is the intellect. And this intellect will carry us as far as we want to go with Allah's permission, as long as we do it to please him, to do it to please him. So I've been watching and I've been listening, and most of all, I've been asking Allah to continue to remind me that I'm in the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. Because my people, who I love very much, are trying to establish New Africa. They already got New Mexico. They already got New York. They already got New Jersey. And then we are supposed to be establishing the model community called Al-Islam, which is the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad, of how the human family is supposed to live in this way, without a doubt. By reading the guidance of the Quran, Allah will have to, he will give us that now. And we know he has given us a witness to that fact, because Imam Muhammad on many occasions said there's many of you who are already in the jannah, but you have to build it so that others may share it with you, because you are just the model. And as we grow in our individual modeling of Al-Islam, we also have the responsibility and the obligation of building it for the whole world, where Allah has designated for it to happen, because of the du'as of the people who are enslaved and oppressed, are going through many things of the hellfire that Shaitan already has them in this reality that we're already in. We know we're in hell. There's no doubt about it. And we all know that when you don't do something, you get burnt, you get burned up, you get set on fire. We have all the lines to remind us of where we are today. But what is strange, like Imam Muhammad said one time, paraphrasing, he said, what is wrong with y'all? You know where you're at. You know why you where you're at. And you know how to get out of where you're at. But like Allah said, why don't you understand? Allah said, why do you cling so heavily to the world? Shaitan is saying that he can hold you here, even make you just disobey your creator and stay here with your own free will, if those there's some benefit in you staying in this hell and going to the final hell that Allah said will be full. Will be full. But we are trying to be what the people before us, which who we call Christians, have found out being what they think that they can be without Allah's vision, that's saviors. They even created and established an other person who they said was the savior. And we almost fell for that our own self in our history. and thought we, and we're still under that same influence, we are trying to be saviors instead of workers. And that's why there's no work being done. We're too busy trying to save, like Imam Muhammad also told us one time, don't waste your time. When people who don't believe what you are telling them.
Yeah. As-salamu alaykum, Muhammad.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful for your sharing. And there's a recognition, regardless to what we're looking at, but goodness is growing on the earth, and Allah is doing it in his special way, in his special way. his ways are not like ours. And Allah advises us. No, he tells us. Don't you go directly at Satan. He is too much for you. I will deal with him. But you avoid his schemes, for his schemes are weak. So we can't come directly at Satan. He is too clever for us. And when Allah deals with him, it'll be on Allah's clock. And we are assured of that. We are assured of that. We have comfort in that. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I see we have some hands still raised. I'm going to see if anyone else would like to share. Martha, I see your hand is still raised. As-salamu alaykum, Martha Naila Abdullah. Take your phone off of mute.
Exactly.
Yes,
I had to work myself into my purse and pull my phone back out.
Okay. I know the feeling.
Yes, everyone, praise be to Allah. Our work never ends. And the beauty of it is, don't even think about it. Don't even think about it ending. And however, and thank Allah for what Muhammad was saying in reference to our tenacity, and not even to think about Shaitan to the point of defeating, but to remove the, I'm saying remove the effect of Shaitan and discipline us so that we can fight the scheme. And that comes from planning. I know it sounds like a broken record. Planning, implementing, assessing, and then re-implementation. That's the process. Our guest for tomorrow morning will be author of the book, The Man Behind the Men, Imam Mikhail Sahir. And one of the interlude parts will be Joan Najiola, the director of A Time to Be Grateful, and Imam Mikhail T. Hameen of Masjid Al-Ansar, who is the coordinator for the meetings that he's been hosting every Wednesday, he and Dr. Nasser Ahmed, and his wife, Mikhail's wife, Dr. Afra Hameen. The beauty of going forward, regardless of what appears to be not an advantageous moment, I reference how we stay strong, believe, and not see the default. And the default I'm speaking about is at this time to be grateful, a time to be grateful. And the appearance is, wow, no one's not enough. I won't say no one. Not enough people are responding to the point that it's like, wow, will there be enough people coming to actually benefit, make it a benefit to everyone who will be there? But alhamdulillah, you know what? As everything else, some are the last minute, some are in advance. You know, however we are, we're not all coming through the same doors. But what will be presented? Oh Allah, I tell you, I can't say it enough, and I'll let them share it tomorrow morning. But just join us at the CWSC Friday Roundtable, everyone, and put in your part. And this also, we're continuing with the overall theme is the CWSC 50-Year Human Family Strategic Planning. That's always, that's an ongoing. So whatever CWSC is connected with, it's on that premise. And everything else is what everyone else is giving already in their everyday life. So we appreciate everyone. Thank you, Imam, for this opportunity. And thank you for your tirelessness. I understand, you know, that, like, you know, I understand part of what you've shared with us about your life and where you are at this moment. So we appreciate you and your strength and your intent to carry on the banner of Al-Islam through the waves of AM360. Praise be to Allah. Go ahead, Amin, for giving us this avenue also, not just talk. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone was on mute. Oh, boy. Anyway, praise be to God. Thank you, Martha, for sharing. I'm just talking and my phone was on mute. I'm going to just stop using the mute button. You know, so anyway, all right, error code 401-323. Please state your name and where you're calling from and what is on your mind this evening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Angela Marie in North Providence, Rhode Island. I would just like to say to Brother Bilal, alhamdulillah, for his experiences, because I almost experienced similar things like that. But Allah puts us in certain situations, like in certain worlds, in order to humble us and maybe still us and quiet us, to make us realize that he has control and power over everything, no matter what situation we go through, that he's always there and he's always in the midst of it all. But he wants to make us recognize he has the power, he has the control, and we must always continue to rely on him, no matter what we go through, and never, ever, ever put anybody above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that's why sometimes he does still us and stop us and put us in certain situations so we can realize that over and over and over until we get it. Stay strong, Bilal. Stay strong, everyone. Stay strong, humanity, and all those who have been favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the way of Al-Islam. Keep hanging on strong. Hang in there, like Surat Al-Amin says. Hang in there. Don't give up. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Sister Angela Marie, for your encouragement to us. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. I'm muting your phone, and if you press one, it'll take it out of the queue, and press one again, and I'll see your hand raised, and I open up your mic, inshallah. Let me share what has been on my mind. A lot of people are not registering it because many may not know. But this nation, we are on the threshold of a major military conflict in the Middle East. We are right at the doorstep of World War III, if it goes to that extent. You know, Bilal mentioned he understands how come I will not vote in the national elections. Because from what I'm witnessing, from what I'm seeing, the slaughter of innocent, helpless civilians. And now they have moved to another country, bombing them. The idea is to exterminate the Palestinians. And the world is looking at this. The United Nations, they took this up as a major subject matter. The International Court of Justice said we find evidence of there being committed a genocide. And there have been major demonstrations around the world, Free Palestine. And this administration is moving forward, arming those that are committing these atrocities. Now, some people think Israel has control over the United States. But no, the actions you see taking place is the actions of the United States. They're acting, they are playing a game with us. We're having peace negotiations and time just going on and on and on and on, and the slaughter never ceases. It just revs up, but they are buying more and more time, telling us lies. As they are slaughtering the people of Palestine, and now they have moved into the country that Hezbollah is in. The taunting, the Israeli government is taunting the Iranian government to draw them into a major conflict. They are with no let up, they are doing things to bait the country of Iran to really smack them down. And then that will bring in the United States Armed Forces. Hear our children go again off to war. That could be simply avoided by just doing the right thing. I don't know, perhaps we're weeks from it or months from it, but there will be an escalation of hostilities in the Middle East. This is by design. These are not stumbling blocks or situations that people are just stumbling into. This is a well-thought-out plan. The United States is pulling the strings. Don't be fooled by that doe-eyed look of that I'm seriously concerned about the innocent's life being lost in Gaza. For a whole year, you did nothing and you're not doing anything now. You are the one that is the perpetrator of what we are witnessing. If Iran strikes Israel, Iran will not strike them with full capacity, because they do not want this to escalate No one wants it to escalate except the U.S. government and the Zionist government in Israel. So, and then I heard Vice President Kamala Harris came out and said, I said, well, let me get one thing clear. I stand with Israel 100%. Well, that's all I need to hear. I'm not going to lend my support to neither one of them. I'm a Muslim. I am aware of my soul. Satan promises you, and he fails in his promise. Satan threatens you with poverty. Satan comes at you through your appetites. I'll give you this, I'll give you that, more health care, better education. I'll give you this, I'll give you that. It's been a long time we have not received. The citizens of this country have not received their fair share of the wealth of this country. So they bait you with little crumbs every 4 years. So it's this adage to choose the lesser of the two evils. It's the same evil. It is the same evil. And I will not jeopardize the health of my soul by consciously endorsing the policies that's being carried out. It doesn't matter who is sitting in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. It doesn't matter what individual is sitting there. The multinational corporations have already made their decision, and you will obey, or we will break you. We'll reduce you down to nothing. We'll take your job from you. Even if you mention anything about a ceasefire or an end to hostilities, we will fire you. You won't be able to get a job nowhere. Satan threatens you with poverty. Now, take these crumbs and vote for this policy of genocide. These are the times that try men's souls. These are the times that try men's souls. Well, they say they're going to straighten out the educational system. They say they are going to rebuild the infrastructure and put people back to work. The corporate and the bankers never settled, never took care of the housing crisis that was created in this country. Those were the bankers. But they got bailed out with our tax money. And now the price of housing have gone through the roof. Rent is going through the roof. It is causing homelessness. It is causing people to lose their housing and their apartments. And the homeless population grows, living on the streets in the richest nation on earth, can come up with, I don't know how many billions to arm our barbaric ideology that is killing human beings. So no, I will not vote in the national election. I will vote in the down ballot. In the down ballot, that's senators, congressmen, and et cetera, et cetera. But I will not endorse what's going on now. It doesn't matter who is in that seat. They are not the ones calling the shots. They are not the one. Matter of fact, they have bought this government. The donor class. They own our government. They own our politicians and the government almost lock, stock, and barrel. So it doesn't matter who you vote for. The policy is already set. Either you go along with us or we'll crush you. I'm not guessing. These are facts. And they have made Donald Trump the boogeyman. Well, if you don't put her in, the boogeyman gonna get you. It doesn't matter what face or what mask is behind, whose face is behind that mask. We have to establish our lives for ourselves, and we are working on building up proper moral, God-conscious leadership to guide, to once again change the trajectory of this country, of this nation. The moral nature of this country is very satanic. And the proof of it is that the citizens voted for a candidate that admitted many sins, crimes, and atrocities. But the die is, it doesn't matter. I'm not afraid of Trump. We survived 4 years of him. He's not God. So it doesn't matter whether I vote for Trump or Harris. I'm looking at the waste of valuable human life, the human being. That's where my interests lie. It's not in a political party. It's not in a patriotic pledge of allegiance to the flag. I'm looking at the deeds. I'll stop right there. But there's another issue on the front burner that is very serious, and the majority of the American people don't know. There are nations that have come out from under the stranglehold and being colonized by Europeans. They have somewhat stood up, got some of their independence back. And they are formulating a a group of nations to offset the direction where the world is being carried to. The United States is the most influential nation on earth. But look at the condition. I love the United States of America. It is mine. I have a right to correct it. I have a right to have a vision to correct the immoral direction that this country is going. I have an obligation. I have children here in this country, two sons and a daughter. I have grandchildren in this country, and their future is up for grabs. I have great-grandchildren in this country. What kind of future would they have? This group of nations, let me name some of them, and more are joining them. They are setting up their own hegemony. Hegemony means an area that you have great influence. Great influence. South America, Central America, Canada, these United States and others, they are in a hegemony. They are influenced by and under the power of this country. And there are other countries that say, no, we do not need one leader of the world. We need a multipolar leadership, not just one leader. We need other choices. We have seen how you have dealt with the United Nations. We have seen how you have misused your power on the Security Council to veto any agreement that comes from the United Nations as far as ending this genocide. You block it. There's only one hand that raises up, the United States. And they got nerve enough to put a sister in that seat to raise her hand. They had an African-American male in that seat to raise his hand, saying no, vetoing justice. Look at the symbolism. So, there are countries that have experienced and seen how unfair this system has been, and they, you know, the United States dollar, U.S. currency, is the medium of exchange for international trade. The U.S. dollar is the currency that's used. That's a powerful position to be in. You control the banking system in certain countries. Certain countries have their assets in your Western banks, and you can sanction them. If the country does not do your bidding, does not follow you lockstep, you place sanctions on them. Satan threatens you with poverty. So this group of countries, they are leaving the International Monetary Fund. They say, for it is just a tool of the West. the countries that are formulating this geopolitical group is Brazil, the vast country of India, the vast country of Russia, and the vast country of China, and the large country, South Africa. They want to create a new paradigm, a new situation. And you know, that is a huge financial power shift now. These are two financial big powerhouses. They divide the earth up in two sections. The global north. The global north. Against the global south. The global south. They have been the victim of the colonization and the exploitation of countries that they identify as being in the global north. Countries of the global south are organizing themselves, and they say, we're not playing the game anymore. We'll establish our own. Now, this may have some serious ramifications. Matter of fact, I heard Donald Trump say in a campaign speech, they're leaving a dollar. You can't leave a dollar. If you leave a dollar, that's just like this country lost a war. He says, if I become president, I won't let you leave the dollar. See how arrogant the disposition has become? Countries have gone to war over currency. Countries have gone to war utilizing banking systems, international banking system. You're talking about a lot of wealth, dear sir. So I'm just informing us whether we can do anything about it or not, but I do know one thing. I can withhold my hand. I can withhold my hand. I'll stop right there. We've only got 4 minutes of broadcast time left. I see there's a hand still raised. I'm going to open up the mic of 225-220, and I was grateful to say what was on my mind. Okay. Error code 225-220. You said your name and where you're calling. Okay, I don't see any. Error code 225-220. Okay. All right. So anyway, I can understand if some people are hesitant. I'm just saying that that's not, I'm saying that that's the case, but let's talk about it. I'm opening up the mic of, okay, here's someone that hadn't spoke. I think this person hadn't spoke. Error code 646-245, please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Assalamu alaikum, it's Farida. My question is always, that if I hold my hand, what will that cause? We know that we can't go by people of what they say, because they lie. But there is one who is not lying. And so in his truth, the truth that he's telling is bad enough. I mean, he praises someone who wants slavery to come back, which tells you what he wants. He wants to go through a purge days where the police will be will have immunity, and that only serves those policemen who are criminals. And imagine what that those days will be upon us. I mean, what he wants is unimaginable, that will put Palestine right in the heart of America. So my question that I have to come to grips with is, what do I want to bring Palestine here? Do I want to bring it over here? Because that right there, with what he says that he wants, is a Palestine in America. So I have to ask, what does my withholding my hand, what will that do for me? What will
Sister
that do,
Farina,
for, my, will
Sister
that do
Farina,
for my country? Yes.
I've been warned. I got 90 seconds of broadcast time left.
Okay.
I thank you
All
for
right.
sharing.
I made my point.
Okay. I'm going to try to open up a few more mics, and if everyone would be as short as possible, get right to the point, because I have to leave the air on time.
Thank you,
okay,
Brother Assalamu
Alaikum. Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Sister Farida. Okay. 706-627. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Brother Muhammad again. I want to say again with the time we got left. Is to remember when all this stuff here we talk about, Allah says, "Udu billahi min ash-shaytan yurajin." We are to seek Allah. This is the time where the world is whatever they believe in. They better seek refuge in it, so that they will be guided to the Creator of all. Where they seek refuge at, they will be in the refuge of the hands of the Creator of it all. Anyway, we need to spend more time, terrible time now, because Allah is the only one who controls Shaitan. Like, he's the only one who controls everything. And if it's
okay,
time to take
Muhammad, I must move forward, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I tell that.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Let me share this out of the Quran quickly, that is speaking to the circumstances that we're presently living under. This is from the third surah, the 186th ayat or verse. It says, God says, "You shall certainly be tried and tested in your possessions and in your personal selves, and you shall certainly hear much that will grieve you from those who received the book before you and from those who worship many gods. But if you persevere patiently and guard against evil, then that will be a determining factor in all affairs." Yes, and now I want to share with you from out of Surah Baqarah, Ayat 255. This ayat is a very special ayat in the Quran. It is Ayatul Kursi. And it is written here, "God, there is no God but He, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber can seize Him, nor sleep. His are all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there can intercede in His presence except as He pleases? He knows what appears to His creatures as before or after or behind them. Nor shall they compass nothing of His knowledge except as He wills. His throne does extend over the heavens and the earth. And he feels no fatigue in guarding and preserving them. For he is the Most High, the Supreme in glory. So, those two ayats there make me very comfortable. Make me very comfortable in the position that I have taken. Allah is in charge at all times. Nothing can happen unless it is in agreement with his will or he allows it. And yes, we will hear much that will touch our hearts and grieve us. Some of us will lose our lives. But don't lose your, but here I come, but don't lose your soul. Satan is coming at souls. I'll stop right there. Okay. All right. This should end the broadcast. Let me try one more time. 321-917. Any parting remarks, please?
Yes, assalamu alaikum, ma'am. Raisi Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Sharing your thoughts and Kalam. Alhamdulillah, appreciate it very much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother. Yeah, Imam Delaisi Umar is the executive producer of the broadcast Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. It airs Saturday mornings at, let me think now, at
11:30 till 11.
Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Wonderful broadcast. Okay. 646-245. I think you've already spoken, but
yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All
I
right.
Take myself out of the queue. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. We are grateful to everyone that supports not just talk. My beloved brother Shelby back with us, inshallah, next week at the regular scheduled time. Let me share this public service announcement with you before we sign off. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
Mark your calendars for December 19th through the 22nd, 2024. The 20th annual A Time to Be Grateful conference is coming to Miami, Florida at the Hilton Miami downtown. This year's theme is Power of the Pen, fostering understanding, truth, and unity. We all have something to be grateful for. A kind word, a helping hand, the warmth of those we love from your brother or sister. The Muslim Journal's A Time to Be Grateful is an annual fundraiser designed to raise awareness about the Muslim Journal publication, increase subscriptions, advertising, distribution through events that promote gratitude, human excellence, cultural expression, and spiritual development. Muslim Journal, a great publication, has served this community for over 60 years. Join us for an exciting weekend filled with Salatul Jummah, several empowerment informational workshops, which includes a specialized economic business workshop, the Time to Be Grateful Awards dinner, entertaining cultural night, Caribbean fashion show and luncheon, vendor marketplace, and ending with business influencers as speakers at the business presentation breakfast. Gratitude is more than just a feeling. It's a way of life. Take time and experience the goodness of networking with people who are spiritually grounded in goodness at a Time to Be Grateful conference. Get your tickets today and get all event details. Visit the website at masjidalansar.org or call 862-250-5451. This year, let's make time for gratitude for the past, the present, and the future we're building together. A Time to Be Grateful. Let's cherish it together.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Almighty God. I want to invite you tomorrow to tune in to American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of the of the recitation of the 18th surah of the Quran entitled Kaf. It will be broadcast in the Arabic and English translation. That is 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on American Muslim 360. The broadcast of Surat al-Kahf or the cave. And then connected with that broadcast is the CWSC
Friday Roundtable, hosted by our Executive Director of the Community-Wide Shura Conference, Sister Martha Naila Abdullah, and her special guest is Imam Mikael Sahir tomorrow. So we look forward to your presence here on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, American Muslim 360. I came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the words of the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. Good night.